and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Joining us from world headquarters for the Mercenary Geologist, Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the Mercenary Geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, in arranging this interview, you had indicated that you were going fishing the other night. Did you pull up anything?
I didn't have a lot of luck, but I know where the fish are now, and I'm going back tonight.
Okay, good stuff. Now, we're going to focus on a metal, Mickey, that, boy, we haven't talked about in quite a while. I think last time we checked on this was back March of 2014, and that is copper. The price of copper having a nice rally from late January to March of this year. However, it's given it all back. And if we go back 18 months, Mickey, this is quite the downturn, down about 80 cents a pound. And right now, I think it's trading at about $2.50 U.S. a pound.
Well, that's right. It's $2.47 as we speak right now. But let's do the math. This is a six-year low for copper from July of 2009, which, you know, it started moving about this time on a significant upleg and went, if memory serves, to about $4.40 at one point. I'm sure there's been a lot of doom and gloom amongst copper analysts, but let's really look at what's going on. I have somewhat of a contrarian opinion on this. So from a year ago, copper was $3.20, and that's not too dissimilar from when we did our last review, probably about $3.25, $3.30 at that point. It's down to $2.47 today. That's a 23% loss. Now, that would still qualify as a correction, but it's on the upper end of what we would call a correction. But, Rob, it's all about the strong U.S. dollar. During this exact period of time, the U.S. dollar index has gone from 80 to 98 today.
Mm-hmm.
How many percent is that? 23%. So in real terms, the price of copper has held steady during this period of time.
Okay, so what you're saying, Mickey, is that people should not look at the downturn in the price of copper that we've seen as an underlying weakness in demand. The market is still there for this.
Well, that's certainly true, although there has been some perturbations to demand, mainly driven by China.
Mm-hmm.
I will make the case that this entire fall over the last, 3 or 4 weeks from a high of maybe 280 to, well, actually, that would be going back to the 1st of May, from a high of 285 to the present price hovering plus or minus 250 is all about China. And it's all about speculators being worried, not only about China, but also Greece somewhat. We have seen Chinese net exports decrease to a four-month low in June. So there is some lessening of demand in China. However, the Chinese GDP is up 7% projected in growth in the second quarter. Industrial production up almost 7%. Chinese PMI, and bear in mind that PMI, when it's plus 50, it's sign of a bullish market. When it's less than 50, it's sign of a contracting market. It has closed the last 4 months above 50. So not a bunch above 50, but it is above 50, which there has been a market meltdown in China before the minus 30% on the Shanghai Exchange. Before they implemented somewhat draconian controls, something that would never happen in a free market economy. It's caused speculators to panic, and I will promulgate the case that this is all speculator-driven for the most part.
Okay, and in, look, thinking back to previous conversations we've had about copper, Mark, copper, Mickey, you've emphasized, I believe, in every chat that we've had is that this is a volatile market, and copper, like a lot of things, tends to overshoot to the upside and to the downside.
Well, it's very, it's futures and options market. It's paper copper for the most part, although the prices we quote are spot prices, but that's a fairly minor part of the market. in terms of the amount of paper copper out there. But what it has done, it's filtered down through the base metal sector. Copper, in 60-day copper down 15%, 60-day nickel down 14%, 60-day zinc down 15%, 60-day lead down 16%. So from this point of view, it really is Dr. Copper. Mm-hmm. However, there's a bunch of bully stuff going on in the market too. Even though we've had this big downturn, futures contracts are still in very strong contango, although the forward curve is not particularly bullish, but even out to a five-month contract, still in contango, which means that people think the market is going to improve. In retrospect, there's some fairly bullish things going on in the copper market, even in the short-term scenario. The marginal cost of production worldwide's got to be about $2.50 a pound. The supply-demand balance remains strong. Analysts still projecting a relatively small deficit, meaning there's more demand, there is supply in 2015. What's really driven this is the speculators are overwhelmingly short, and I think they have trying to make their own case. Morgan Stanley has made a bearish case on 0% growth in China in 2020. And I think that's ridiculous. Number one, how can you project copper demand out 5 years?
Right.
I mean, to me, that's mental masturbation. but here's the kicker. They predict 4% growth in China in 2018 and 3% in 2019. Now, you tell me 5 years out, Chinese economy is just going to go flat. I doubt that. Goldman Sachs has gotten on board with this. So it looks to me in the short term, what they're setting up is they're trying to game the market, but we've seen that happen before. And sometimes at night when most of the world markets are not functional, not open, you'll see with low volumes, you'll see people try to game the market in the other way. So it looks to me like it's been set up for somebody to come in and kick up the price of copper by buying a bunch of copper, set up a short squeeze, and try to force some of these shorts out of the market. This is an overwhelmingly short market, something on the order of more shorts right now for 4 or 5 years.
Okay, and we haven't mentioned the fact that the United States is the second largest consumer of copper, Mickey, and the economy there, it continues to show positive signs. We have some strength now in the home building sector, and that's good news.
Well, that's true. You know, most of the months of 2015, since late 2014, we have more than a million new housing starts every year, and really copper is driven by domestic and industrial wiring use. So so that's bullish. Although I will say, Rob, that the U.S. economy, I would say, is tepid growth, but demand still remains strong for copper.
Right. In making a contrarian call here on copper, Mickey, are you also making a contrarian call on strength in the U.S. dollar? Do you think it's near a plateau?
Well, I've pretty much quit predicting that. You know, we've seen that rise, 15% rise to about the 95 level. Since then, I've become increasingly cautious about the direction the market will go from there. It comes down and tests 95. It'll go down into the 94 range and bounce to 96. Recently, with the strong downturn in the Shanghai market, the Greek debacle, we've seen increased strength of U.S. dollar, now almost 98, 97, 91 right now on my Kitco screen. And very much weakness in the Canadian dollar, the euro, continual weakness at $1.08 and change. So the U.S. dollar, I think, really is the only choice among a bunch of bad choices. So it's kind of the only thing we got.
Yeah.
I certainly feel comfortable with the U.S. dollar right now in that 90 plus or minus 95
okay.
range.
Can you filter your contrarian call on physical copper down to base metals producers in terms of an equity investment? You know, they've had a
rough time.
Well,
I think it's a little early right now.
Okay.
The majors are really hurting. Codelco, although it's a private company, is in a world of hurt. BHP, Billiton, FCX, Freeport, they are suffering right now. Freeport is increasingly burdened with debt. That's usually my go-to major.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always looking for good copper projects. I've found a couple of good copper projects. You know, there's, some small copper companies that are accumulating resources with a contrarian view. So without mentioning names, that's always a smart thing to do. Trying to replicate what Ross Beaty did with Lumina Copper in about 10 years ago, and that certainly very much rewarded shareholders. You know, for me, copper right now is very much Dr. Copper. It's been a contagious case for the other base metals. I have a somewhat contrarian view. That's not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more, it looks to me in the short term, this is a bit of an overreaction. In the long term, the fundamentals still remain very strong. Since 1900, copper up somewhere about 3.5% per year with very few perturbations on that curve. 2015 and beyond, I see no reason for that to be any different. And it's really driven by world population growth. You know, there's 80 million people
every year.
80 million more people on the planet every year. Mm-hmm. Do the math on that. 220,000 people per day, which means in a week, in 7 days, there are more people populating the planet than the entire population of the state I live in, New Mexico. We're equal to it. We're about 1.5 million people, and there's that many more people on the planet every day. One quarter of these people still have no electricity, and that's mainly in the Asia Pacific and Sub-Saharan Africa, and especially the Asia Pacific region. The rural parts of that are increasingly electrified.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you cannot transmit electricity
without
the substations and the transformers that are required.
And that means a lot of copper.
Mm-hmm. And once again, demand is really driven by domestic and industrial wiring.
Okay.
No substitute.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note. Mickey, we're going to do it all over again in a couple of weeks?
We are, and there's been some similar things going on in the precious metal markets. Gold hit a six-year low today. This morning got driven down with some speculators coming in overnight, got driven down briefly to 1172. It immediately bounced when the New York markets opened this morning. Now at 1109, but that's still a six-year low, and we'll address what's going on in gold and the rest of precious metal markets.
Okay, great stuff, Mickey. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.